Good morning. Bring you greetings and blessings from our brothers and sisters at Chapel of Divine Mercy, who are right now at the Tres Arroyos down there. We've got some folks who are down there right now. Last week, Father David and I and several others were down there for the men's weekend. Now they are down at the women's weekend. We left some people down there last night, and had an amazing weekend. We'll probably hear some more about it next weekend when some people come back and give a report on what happened there. And it was truly an incredible weekend. And we'll talk more about that later. But on to this weekend, on to what we're doing now. As we work our way through the scriptures every year, we have this blessing and privilege that sometimes feels a little restrictive if you're clergy, because if you're a Baptist preacher, Monday morning you walk into your office and you sit down and you think to yourself, what in all of creation am I going to preach about on Sunday? And if you're a preacher in a liturgical church, you walk into your church on Monday morning, and you open up the lectionary, and you look at it, and you read four different readings, and you say, what do I have to preach on Sunday? And as you work your way through the lectionary, you sometimes find yourself in a position where you go, oh, that again. But the incredible thing about Scripture is that it's never really that again, because it's always something new and always something lively and it's always something powerful. And as we've seen in the Good Friday services, where we preach on the same passage of Scripture over and over and over again, it's always incredible and it's always remarkable and it's always new year after year after year, and all Scripture is like that. So the challenge isn't, what do I have to say this time? The challenge is, out of these four scriptures, how do I distill this down into a brief message that I can talk about and impart something to the people in 15, 20, 25, 30, 45 minutes today? So, what we often do is we often come to the scriptures and start praying about it and saying, Lord, of all these things, what is it that jumps out at me? And the Holy Spirit says, that, right there. And sometimes it's the one that goes, oh yes, I've been waiting to talk about that for decades now. And other times it's that thing that you go, oh, no, there's got to be something else. Maybe there's something happening in the world that I can talk about. Wasn't there a good boxing match last night? Apparently not. So in reading the scriptures this week, I looked at it and there was a passage that jumped out. And it wasn't one that was one I was terribly looking forward to. It wasn't one that I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Let's jump in on that. This is going to be exciting. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to enjoy this. This is one where God's going, okay, son, it's time to deal with some stuff. Lovely. How much fun is that? So let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Let's go to the epistle reading. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone who loves is born of love and knows God. Oh yes, that's lovely. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. Okay, we can deal with that. And this is the love of God was manifested towards us. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, fine. Verse 13, by this we know God, we abide in him and he in us, and he has given us the Spirit. Yes, that's lovely. Again, and we have seen and testified, etc., etc., etc. Verse 16, and we have known and believed that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God is him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Once again, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. You see, verse 1 through 3 of Isaiah 61 is the passage which, when Jesus came to the synagogue, and he asked for the scroll of Isaiah, he pulled it out and he started to read from it. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance. Actually, he stopped there, but it continues to say, the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That sounds familiar. That strangely sounds like confirmation from the Holy Spirit. That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prisons to those who are bound. See, fear is a prison. Fear locks you up. Fear keeps you in chains. Fear prevents you from doing things that you ought to do, want to do, should do. Fear prevents you from going on roller coasters. Fear keeps you from going to circuses because there are those clowns there. It's actually a pretty big fear of people. There are a lot of people who are scared of clowns. Fear keeps people out of the ministry because they're scared to stand in front of people and talk. Public speaking is a huge fear of people. But everybody deals with fear. Some of them handle it very well. And they keep it deep down inside in a very dark place that they lock in the back. But they still deal with it on a regular basis. They're scared about, what if people don't like me? What if people don't accept me? What if I don't have any friends? What if I lose the friends I have? What if my spouse leaves me? What if my spouse dies? What if my spouse cheats on me? What if my children get sick? What if my children die? What if a disaster happens? What if the media makes a fortune off of this? What if there's a war? What if there's a rumor of war? What if there's a natural disaster? What if there's an alien invasion? What if there's a zombie apocalypse? What if there's an alien invasion and a zombie apocalypse at the same time while a volcano explodes and Godzilla attacks? And we can laugh about this, and we can joke about this, because we're not touching our nerves. But we have them. What if I lose my job? What if something happens to my family? What if I lose my house? What if I can't pay my bills? What if I get sick? And we get into this endless game of what ifs. And really, truth be told, when you get right down to it, that endless game of what ifs is really kind of like one of those old, like, 1970s, 1980s martial arts movies. No, hear me out on this. Because you have your hero, and your hero gets out there, and all of a sudden there's 30, like, masked ninjas who surround him, and they all have all their weapons, and he stands there. And those guys come at him one at a time. You've got one guy surrounded by 30 people, and they all come at him one at a time. And he takes them on one at a time. Maybe two at a time. You never have to deal with more than three at the same time. Okay? And typically, after he takes out like three or four of them, one guy actually lands a punch and he like wipes the blood off his lip and then he goes into like full-on insane mode and kills everybody. All right? But these guys only come at him one at a time. And fear is really the same way. Because when we deal with our anxiety and our fears, we think about those things and we worry about, what if all these things can happen? And chances are, they're mutually exclusive. They can't all happen. They're not all going to happen at the same time. You might really get fat. But chances are, if you're going to get really fat, you're not going to get sick at the same time. Because those don't go together. If you're going to get sick, you're going to get really skinny. You lose weight and become ill. You can only deal with one of those things. We go through this massive, massive, oh, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? But really, only one of them is ever going to happen. We get worked up in this great flurry and fury of all these possibilities. They're not all going to happen. Chances are none of them are going to happen. Chances are we're all worked up over nothing. We're bound up over nothing. We're worked up over, you know, what if Jesus doesn't come back? What if he does come back? What if he comes back before I get married? What if he doesn't come back? What if I don't get to experience this? What if I do get to experience that? What if I have to go through this? We go through all these things. We can't experience them all. It goes back to the passage where Jesus says, look, you've had earthly fathers and they knew how to bless you. Don't you know you have a heavenly Father who wants to bless you even more? He wants to give you good things. He loves you. He wants to perfect you. A lot of people worry about what happens to their children. God says, you love your children. You want the best for them. You fret about them, and you worry about them, and you're concerned with them. God says, I love them first, and I love them more than you do. You can worry about them, but I know the plans I have for them. And the same goes for your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your job, all of that. Same goes for you. I know these plans. I know what I have for you. And their plans to bless you. Perfect love has been perfected among us. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. We torment ourselves. Jesus doesn't torment us. Jesus sets us free from torment. You know, it's the worst thing we can go through. We can die. And after that, resurrection and eternal life. Our family members, resurrection and eternal life. If they know Christ, God loves them. God loves the world. You know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. There was a movie years ago where there were characters who had to deal with fear, and they had this chant that they came up with. And they said, I will not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that leads to total oblivion. I will face my fear and I will pass through it. This is really, it's a fun little thing. People said it all the time. But the fact is, it's like whistling in the dark. It's like walking through a graveyard and going, I don't want to whistle into the microphone. They'll hate me on the recording. It doesn't really do anything. It's like giving yourself a pep talk. We can talk about it all we want, and we can intellectualize it, and we can say, you know what, I'm going to stop brooding on this, and I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm going to acknowledge, look, I can't be afraid of this, 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 and that, because that's just silly. Not all these things are going to happen. And if they do happen, God is still my God. Though the whole world crashed down around me, and I'm the only one left, God is still there with me. And if it's just me and God, the love of God still remains. If I go to prison, God's been in prison with greater folks than I am. I'm in good company. And we can talk ourselves into that. But the fact is that perfect love casts out fear. And God is that love. So we can talk and talk and talk, but there's a spiritual component there. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to open up the altar. And if you have been bound up in fear, if there is something that's been holding you back, if there's been something that's preventing you from doing what God's called you to do because you've been held back in fear, if you've been talking a good talk and walking a good game, but you've been held back because you've been afraid of anything, then we're going to open up the altar and you can come on up. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to anoint you, and we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit drives out that fear and replaces that fear with his perfect love, which casts out fear. Because you have not been given a spirit of fear, but as Paul says to St. Timothy, power and love and a sound mind. We have not been given a pure spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It's one of the prayers that we pray over our children when we put them to bed at night, when they have nightmares. Well, adults have nightmares too. And they're not about ghosts and goblins and things hiding in the shadows. They're about our future and our families and our careers and our retirement. And they hold us back. And they're tormenting us. And we're not meant to have them. So if you're ready to leave them behind, if you're ready to be set free from that prison, then the Spirit of the Lord is here today, and it's anointed us to set you free from that. So Carrie's going to go ahead and start playing. The priests are going to come forward now.